Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're back with RCR Greenwashed with Don and Jaspreet. And we figured it's time we had a regular guest back on to give us an update on the Methane Science Accord. I speak of Owen Jennings, and of course he's a former MP and a former president of Federated Farmers and a very worldly chap. We love his input on RCR Greenwashed. And so welcome, Owen. We'd love an update on the Methane Science Accord and where you are. And effectively, I know you've got a lot of work going on to perhaps address, if you can, the methane science review panel. But you have some concerns. The terms of reference don't quite match what you thought they would, perhaps. Have I got that right?
They're interesting. It's good to be back with you, Don and Jaspreet. You're doing a great job behind the microphones there. Rural New Zealand's indebted to you for keeping these issues on the boil, because unfortunately there are whole sections of the media that just don't want to know about these issues. So well done, you guys. But yeah, look, the panel was announced and the terms of reference are out and the panel members have been chosen. And we're just kind of querulous. I'm a pretty simple person. When somebody says we're going to look at the issues of additional warming, do we take that at face value? In other words, New Zealand's situation since 2005 is that we've consistently reduced our actual tons, as they call it, of methane emissions. We're down 7.4% in the last decade or so. And that trend is likely to continue with, you know, more trees going in, more of our difficult hill country going into trees. And I think the dairy scene has still got some way to go, settling back to some of the earlier numbers that were in place. So, you know, if we're going to talk about additional warming, how can you talk about additional warming if indeed the trend is that we're reducing the amount of methane emitted, and therefore aren't we contributing to cooling? Because there's a pool of methane, if you will, in the atmosphere, the old sort of water tank or the bath syndrome with, you know, water in and water out. And in that case, the amount of water going out is greater than the water going in. Therefore, the water level is falling. Therefore, there's not so much methane in the atmosphere to do the so-called warming. Therefore, we're not doing additional warming. We're actually providing cooling. So there's a lot to understand about what the government is thinking in the background, setting up a panel of so-called experts and focusing on additional warming. And there's a lot to learn about how the actual panel will deal with it. And there's no indication yet. We can't obtain any information about submissions, about timing. We know that they have to have an interim report ready by the 1st of November, and they have to have their final report in by the end of November. But what happens in between, your guess is as good as mine.
So Owen, reading this terms of reference, there's three key points in the purpose, and it does talk about this additional warming factor. The issue for me is the word target, along with what you're concerned about. I mean, if there is no additional warming, the target is moot, isn't it? There is no target.
Meaningless.
So maybe I'm flying a kite here. Maybe the wording is specifically presented this way because these people know, even though they've put up this august panel, they know in their heart of hearts that this is the last hurrah for the methane attack.
Well, one of the senior people, if not the most senior person on the panel, is Professor Dave Frame, Dr. Frame. And we know that he in speaking to a Federated Farmers meeting down in your patch, Don, made the rather revealing announcement that the warming that's been achieved by farmers, if put on an annualized basis, is about 0.004°. Now, nobody in their right mind could even begin to think that that is a contribution to anything. 0.004°. Per year, that's not measurable. It's so infinitely minor that it just can't play any role at all. So I think he's may well be in the position where he's saying, look, guys, scientifically, we don't really have a leg to stand on. So we're going to fight this thing. Well, not fight it, but we're going to present a political solution. Mm. And that is that, you know, New Zealand's got to pull its weight. We're this big bogey with a huge amount of methane emission going into the atmosphere compared with most industrialized countries or most Western countries. So we have to make some sort of a gesture to show that we're in, you know, in the team and pulling our weight and playing the role. And I expect there's going to be more actual focus on that than there is on the science around methane.
I think you're right. And so, listeners, for your memory, New Zealand's biogenic emissions from ruminant animals, including nitrous oxide and the like, make up supposedly 48% of our inventory, of which methane looks like it's around 75% to 80% of that. So in effect, we're worrying or talking about a component of the New Zealand inventory that is almost half. And of course, that seems to be when we prove that we seem to be on the way to proving that there is no additional warming and that methane was never an effect to worry about anyway in terms of warming. It's so minuscule that the other 50% of the emissions of New Zealand will then be in the highlights, as they appropriately should be. Now, no one wants to play that card unfairly, but we've had 30 years of torment, and I think we're getting to the pointy end, Owen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, I think. I mean, what would be wonderful, wouldn't it, is if we had political leaders who looked at this thing and said, let's take a case on behalf of New Zealand and maybe two or three other countries who are not anywhere near as affected as we are, but maybe the Argentinians or Chileans, maybe Denmark, one or two, and go to the IPCC or the United Nations and say, look, New Zealand's a bit of an oddball case. And you know, ruminant methane is not an issue. And you know, we're backed up by the fact that the United Nations said to us right at the beginning in the Paris Agreement of 2015, look, don't impact your food production processes. Don't interrupt them. Don't take any steps that will threaten your food production. Now, that came from the African countries and some of the Asian nations, Central America, who were at that conference and said, look, we don't want to be left in a situation where we've got no food. And they pushed hard and got agreement in the Paris Agreement called Clause 2B, and it just says don't threaten your food production. So we've got a leg to stand on. We've also got another leg to stand on, and that is that every farmer is using copious amounts of CO2 every day, the process of photosynthesis. They're sequestering it in their grass and in their soil. Now, that doesn't work with your car. When you drive your car down the road and burn some fossil fuels, there's no offset. There's no offset. But when you emit methane, you've got an offset. You can only produce methane if you've used some CO2 in the process. That sets us apart. And that's the political leg, along with Article 2B, that we need to be able to stand on. And what we need is political leaders that have got the intestinal fortitude, I could call it something else, to stand up and bat for us.
Yep, 100%, right. Owen. And of course, recently, you and I and Jaspreet and some others followed up on a program we did with Peter Kaya, the Danish farm leader, and we interacted with them. And, you know, what was interesting to me after that interaction was to find that they're pretty much falling into line with everything that our organizations had fallen into line with for the last 20 years. And so it's like they're on in the trail, you might say. But I think they've got because they have that protectionism in their countries and in the EU, I think they're going to be a hard task to turn them around to get them back on track with methane. How did you view that meeting we had with them? Because I was grateful that we could organise that.
Well, it was disappointing from the point of view that, A, they knew so little, and B, you know, their enthusiasm to do more wasn't particularly evident. I guess it gets back to the, you know, the old adage that, you know, what changes a person's mind more than being hit in the pocket? Or if you're like Samuel Johnson, who said something along the lines of, there's nothing that focuses the mind like the thought you're going to be hanged in the morning. When you're kind of facing reality, you're going to be hurt financially or in some other way, then you start to consider the issues and dig deep and do your research. For European farmers, God bless them, for everything that the government taketh away, the government giveth back, often tenfold. So if they get hit by, you know, some sort of methane tax or some sort of curtailment on their methane and their nitrous oxide and whatever else, then they know full well, the government will give it back in some form. And that means they're not really facing the music. They don't have to. They're certainly not like us, where, you know, under present kind of scenarios, New Zealand could lose 25% of its animals if we do nothing. Now, I don't think that's realistic, but that's the inevitable outcome if we don't bow to the, you know, these gods of climate change.
Yeah, and some might think that some of us are being too cynical, Owen, that the government has appointed an independent panel, independent in quotes for anyone who can't quite sense my tone. But let's have a look at the five people who've been appointed here. We have Professor Nicola Chadbolt from Massey. We have Professor Bill Collins from Reading University, Professor David Frame from University of Canterbury, Dr. Sarah Fletcher from NIWA, and another associate professor from University of Canterbury, Laura Revelle. Now, the NIWA name, Dr. Sarah, I believe she was among the ones who presented in Parliament last year, or was it earlier this year, when the methane SAT was launched. Now, you tell me, this is the most obvious name to me, how someone whose career is so invested in a methane satellite tracking our emissions from space, how will they ever find anything to the contrary into which all their research is funded, invested? Like, it's very simple. I'm a layperson here. There is conflicts of interest galore. How does the government term this panel independent?
Yes, well, you know, I guess there was never going to be independence. I mean, all of us have got a preconceived position of some sort, but you would have rather hoped that there would have been one or two on there who would have
all sides of the story. Yep.
Yes. Well, even a more expansive view of the issue. And what surprises me, well, perhaps it doesn't surprise me when I stop and think about it, is the absence of knowledge, the absence of facts. There are very few people that actually understand what happens during climate change and gases, greenhouse gases going into the atmosphere. There's even less understand the issues around methane. And it's disturbing that people making outrageous claims about what methane does. I mean, just for example, you know, there's a belief that methane wafts up through the atmosphere and it's interacting with photons of energy that are re-radiating off the Earth's surface, and this goes on up into the atmosphere. I mean, that's just nonsense. Most of the interactions happen in the first 2 meters above the ground. So it's about the level of a cow's nostril. When she burps or belches, most of that methane is already attacked by the radicals, the hydroxyl radicals, and is changing into CO2. I mean, this idea that somehow all these methane molecules are wandering around up there, a mile or two or a kilometer or 10, it's just nonsense. Most of it's gone very, very quickly, and most of it's gone at a very low level. Now, that's not widely known. I guarantee you that you could count on the fingers of one hand after being attacked by a power saw, that the number of scientists who understand that.
I don't
Interesting.
disagree. Sorry, Don.
Yeah.
Go
And
ahead.
interestingly, Owen, to back up what you're saying, even the scientists that we've mentioned here tonight and others have said that New Zealand ruminant agriculture, at best, we're 1% of the world's ruminant farmed animal population in terms of ruminants. We are at best contributing to 3 millionth to 4 millionth of 1 degree of warming per year. And as you say, that's irrelevant to any scheme of things, certainly not applicable to anything you'd want to tax or anything you'd want to measure and manage. Just, it's nonsense. So at least we have scientists saying that now, and they do have a direct connection to this panel. So I'm living in hope. I'm seeing that the interested parties, including yourself and including iwi Maori specifically as well, I don't know why we have to add that. I'm sorry, I'm being a bit sensitive here. Interested parties can submit relevant evidence to the panel for their consideration by emailing methanepanelsecretariat@mfe.government.nz. That doesn't talk about a time, but I see they're reporting back to the Parliament on November 24th, or I think around then. So I'm sure the MSA will have a lot to say about that. But we'll move on, if we can, to one other issue that I know you're facing. Now, that is getting any media traction, apart from perhaps reality check radio. It's very hard for you to get into the print media. Why do you think that is?
It's intriguing to me because, if any of us are very sure about the position we have on any subject, we're usually comfortable being challenged on that. In fact, the whole, and get a bit esoteric here, Don, but the whole kind of notion of challenge is vital to nature. It occurs by the second, right through nature, right through, the animal and plant kingdom. That is the way immunity is built. That's the way we survive. We're dependent on it this very minute. So an argument is strengthened by challenge. And if I was, sure of the argument and that somehow the world is boiling and overflowing with heat and being, taken to the cleaners through this greenhouse gases, and I've done my research, I'd be keen to stand up and defend that, and to have these
100%.
so-called climate denialists come in and get demolished. But nowhere in the world, and not even here in New Zealand, are scientists willing to debate the issue, nor are the mainstream media prepared to take any action to have the other side, if you like,
Of the story.
publicized. And we're running a battle with right now with probably the most senior, the largest media organization in New Zealand. They don't reply to emails. They don't answer the phone. They don't publish any issues. We've got the Methane Science Accord has got groundswell behind it, the farm group, 50 Shades of Green, well over 100,000 people. That's a significant grouping of people with firm opinions. And I would have thought that there was more than a moral responsibility for the media to at least engage. If not to publish. That's the role of the media. We talk about the forces that exist in a civil society for balance and for a
I
civil
have
society to operate, and the media play a role in that.
I have noticed the same thing. I follow the Methane Science Accord on Facebook, Owen, It has actually, I've added it into one of my favorites. That means I should be seeing it first on my Facebook feed. I don't see it unless I specifically go to the page. And yet, at the same time, we had this headline today from NZ Herald saying that RNZ is performing well digitally, but faces a big battle to stabilize and revive radio listenership with the byline, "A cause for soul searching, RNZ CEO on the ratings plummeting." They don't know why. It is such an echo chamber there. They don't want to get both sides of the story. People like you can't get the word out, even get an article published, and they wonder why their ratings are dropping.
Well, if somebody proves us wrong, let them do so, and we will modify our position. But I've just received an email this morning from one of the preeminent scientists in this issue in Canada, Dr. William van Wingarten, who has works with probably the smartest physicist in the world, Dr. William Happer. They've produced a number of papers now that on the issue of greenhouse gases and covering methane particularly. And he's staunchly in favor of there being no imposition on methane emissions at all. He said there's no scientific justification to take any action on methane emissions. That's one of the world's leading scientists.
And right up to date, right up to the minute, constantly said the same thing in recent years. In fact, others from as far back as 2008, I think David Coe as well. Look, this stuff is now becoming front and center, Owen. I'm of the belief that we're on the cusp of having some integrity put in front of this, in front of the country. And I'm hoping that the likes of William van Wijngaarden can be an expert witness for this panel. And that you can encourage that to happen, because you've put a lot of energy behind it, you and your team. I think Jaspreet and I have put a fair bit of energy as well, but we deserve this thing to be put to bed once and for all. And if we can have expert witnesses, along with a very adept, hopefully, and impartial panel judgment, we hope that we can get some modification to the way New Zealand has talked about methane and nitrous oxide for the last 30 years.
Well,
And sorry,
Nicola Shadbolt is the chairman of that panel. She's a farmer and a scientist. We've got a lot of confidence that she'll look at this thing very in a very straightforward way, in a very practical way. And in actual fact, we're quick to cast aspersions on Dave Frame, but he has stood up for farmers over the years and said, farmers haven't. Aren't contributing in a major way to warming. He's quick to say that we need to do something because we have to play, along with all the rest of the world and pull our weight or whatever. Now, that's a separate argument to have on another day, but at least he knows full well that New Zealand's contribution to greenhouse gases is having zero measurable effect.
And so the last thing from me, Jaspreet, as we wind up here, is the rural media seem tardy to touch your information as well. So the very papers, print media that you would want to have print this sort of stuff seem tardy. You've got to wonder why. The most popular, supposedly rural radio stations don't want to touch it with a barge pole. What are they scared of? What is it? They got some paymasters in the background?
Who knows?
Who knows? Yes. So, Jaspreet, we'd better wind this up. But have you got any last questions of Owen before we sign off? Because there's a lot ahead for Owen and his team, and we wish them all the best. But I'm sure you've got one last bit of advice.
No, such advice from you, and just really batting for your team. And I am so surprised that you yourself don't know the details yet of when the submissions happen, let alone mere
Yes.
mortals like us, because I would like to submit to this panel. I'm sure some of our listeners would, but everyone's at sixes and sevens where this is
Well,
going. None of this inspires much confidence. Don't you have something?
you can all submit. It's just got no end date. So are they going to take any notice? I think they will take notice of very, very sensible submissions. So methane panel secretariat at mfe.gov.nz.
And
No date.
we would like to actually engage. It's one thing to lodge a submission. It's another thing to go and present it, to debate it, to hear questions, to ask questions. And that's what we That's what we're asking. This is an important issue. This is a big issue.
And I hope you get more than the mere 5 minutes that most
yeah.
of us seem to have gotten
yeah.
on recent submissions, because this is so important. This could, you know, maybe I'm exaggerating, it could make or break New Zealand ag, the way I'm looking at this, the costs.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
Yep. So thanks for coming back on RCR Greenwashed, Owen, and keep us up to date. We very much want to make sure that you get the support at least we can give you on this very issue, because, yep, some of us have lived this a long, long time.
Yes, and appreciate that, and appreciate the opportunity of being able to chat with you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.